You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSE has closed its doors for another day, so it's time for the 5 o'clock shadow. And as always on a Thursday, I speak to David Shapiro from Sasson Securities and Viv Govender from Rand Swiss. I want to start with you, Viv, because everyone was waiting for NVIDIA yesterday. How did they deliver? What did you make of their numbers, which they beat expectations?
Yeah, but NVIDIA is not just probably NVIDIA is beating expectations by such a large amount each time. It's come out recently. The market doesn't expect a beat, it expects a spectacular beat. And unfortunately, it did not get that this time. And so we find the share price down about 4.5% today. I think the only really disappointing thing in the number objectively was the fact that margins were under pressure. But I mean, NVIDIA's margins are gigantic, you know, famously gigantic. So, it probably does make sense that if their only moat is to be better than the other guy, they should be spending more money to try and improve their performance effectively. Objectively, results are great, but the market was so used to like smashing results that I think this was just not good enough to be, positively for the market's down.
Yeah, the market's slightly more mature. I mean, the share price and the company progression is more mature. So it's going to have to get a bigger and bigger beat every time in order to enthuse investors. But what about the R&D in the future? Because that has been a theme of many tech companies saying, I'm going to spend $150 billion over the next year on development. What did NVIDIA say about the future?
Well, I think NVIDIA has had a couple like setbacks this year, especially I think around what's been happening with regards to China. I think that may have been an issue. There was a recent news story about Microsoft and what they are doing with regards to canceling some data centers. I think that also probably was like a bit of bad news around it. But in terms of R&D, that's pretty much NVIDIA's whole spend. They are not the company that basically produces these chips. They are not the company that, has to go and build the factories and so on. Their main thing is basically the amount of, they basically design, make sure it's fine. And, then they go out and they employ TSMC basically to do what needs to be done. I think, $16 billion in R&D spending, is compared to what the revenue they basically bring in, considering that R&D is primarily their main like cost, is not exactly, I think, a huge, uptick or a huge, danger right now. Saying, the R&D spending is getting out of whack.
But to summarize, you're still involved in NVIDIA, and David, you as well. I'll start with you, Viv. You still like it?
Yeah. The only thing I see that might be a danger to NVIDIA is that people think that NVIDIA's chips are what make them the outlier leader. But actually, it's their software. It's called CUDA. And the only thing I see as dangerous here is that DeepSeek has shown, that's the Chinese company, that it's possible to get around CUDA, even though get some really great results without it. If they lose that advantage in CUDA, I think that might be the thing, because that would be the one mode that they can lose out on. But other than that, as Jensen Huang said, the new reasoning models that are coming out use 100 times more computing power per query. That's just all-time good for towards NVIDIA.
Okay. David, you still like it, of course?
I just like all the tech stocks. I think that this has given us, for the first time in a few months, quite a considerable months, that I feel quite comfortable to go in and start picking up stock. Despite the noise, this is a year that I knew or forecast that it's not going to be a great year. It's going to be, if we can get 10%, I'd be thrilled. So it's going to be a year where earnings catch up with share prices. And I think we're going through that experience. The outlook still remains incredibly positive. Trying to perfect this, trying to get the absolute perfect prices in each one of these companies is going to be impossible. But if you take out the absolute result of all these big companies, they're still solid. They're still growing. They're still generating cash. And for me, that's what I'm looking at. Is there anything that's going to throw them off their perch? Not in the foreseeable future. And I think the same thing applies to NVIDIA. There's absolutely no doubt that along the way, we're going to see other companies come and challenge them, challenge them for superiority, whatever. It's going to happen. But I mean, for the meantime, I'm quite happy to start building up and just be quiet about it, ignore the noise, and you know, start picking up some decent, you know, some decent positions, and we'll see. You know, it's there was nothing in the numbers that really shook me. I think, you know, we all look for something, and I suppose in every result you can write both in every result that comes out, you can write a bullish report and you can write a bearish report. You know, you can for each company, it's impossible for everything to be perfect.
Yes.
So I'm relaxed. You know, I said, okay. The only trouble is I have to handle clients. You know, who like to watch their share prices not on a daily basis, but on every 5 minutes. You know, and I think that's the hardest thing to control.
You must educate these people, David. You must educate them to take a deep breath and stop watching the news and stop listening to stupid podcasts.
Also, to point out a fact here, it's like NVIDIA in the last year is up 62%. And today on these results is down, you know, under 5%. 4% at the moment. That is almost no reaction to the market, for the market that's basically been as positive as the other stocks. So it's almost a nothing burger, quite frankly.
Unlike Tesla, of course, which since December the 17th has fallen 39%, and that was as of the close last night. And people are defiling Tesla motor cars in Europe and the United States of America, and putting big X's, red X's on them, and just generally spraying them with stuff. And Mr. Trump, you know, everyone talks about him being worth 300, 400 billion, whatever it is. And it's all paper money, of course, or most of it. And he, in that period, had his wealth reduced by 78 billion. Viv, is this, you've always gone on about this not being a motor car company, but a tech company. Is this an opportunity for people when it's down in a double bear market?
Yeah, look, I mean, there's a couple of things coming with Tesla. I actually did a report on this today. Firstly, of course, there's the Elon Musk, you know, like you mentioned, the brand issue. The second thing is the fact that, you know, Trump has reduced, you know, told us the benefits that you have for electric vehicles. So it's obviously a negative. And also the Chinese market. I mean, I've seen like reports of the Chinese market. It's the Chinese, apparently in China, the only people that buy electric vehicles who buy Tesla are the guys that don't know cars. And they go and buy the most reliable, well-known name. You know, it's like the Toyota of cars. If effectively, you buy a Toyota because it's, you know, it's not going to go wrong on it. But if you look at the other options available with regards to, like, you know, the Chinese markets, there's some spectacular, I mean, you know, features on that, on those cars. And there's some of the, like, the technological things, like charging rates and so on, are insanely good. So I do think there's a lot of things here. But look, even if Tesla had the best profit margins of any car company and created the majority of cars in the world that were sold in the world, it would not be worth what it is currently. So it has to be the full self-driving. It has to be the robotaxi. It has to be the robot. And because I do believe that those things are coming, I'm still a holder of Tesla. As a car company alone, if Tesla, like I said, number one car company in the world, sold the most cars with the biggest profit margin, I would short it at this level because it does not make sense from that point of view.
Very good. Couldn't have happened to a nicer fellow. I got very last week I told you I was very depressed about Trump saying that Zelensky was a dictator. Last night at around about 6 o'clock European time, I watched that the sideshow that was the cabinet meeting and the main show, which was the press asking Trump and Musk questions during the cabinet meeting, and all the other cabinet members saying nothing, and Musk standing there in an emblazoned T-shirt and an ill-fitting black cap. It was just undignified to watch that. But anyway, nonetheless, David, on to South Africa now.
You're dead right. I just think it's something that is dragging down the whole Trump administration, that you've got someone like Musk going into the White House, which is really the nerve center of America, which is the most powerful country in the world.
Yes.
And here you've got him treating it like, you know, it's his golf club or whatever it is, his local pub. You know, to walk in like that and not give it the dignity that it deserves. I mean, I don't know how they can carry on like that. And I don't want to say conservative people, but I mean, just people who've got respect for history, got respect for the institution. You know, that's not the way you carry on.
No.
You know, they've turned it into a sandpit, like the kindergarten sandpit. You know, I genuinely take a lot of exception to the way that they carry on and the way they, you know, they treat the United States as, oh, well, this is the golf club, you know, let's decide whether to to start selling burgers or something like, you know, I mean, that kind of level. You understand what I'm saying?
I know exactly what you're saying. And the only reason that it's happening is because Trump knows that in 3¾ years' time, he won't be president unless he manages to change the constitution like Putin did in Russia. But that's not going to happen. So he's having a load of fun. David, the JSC is in the middle of results season. There's so much to look at. Motors currently down 13.3%. That's a big move we've had in Parler Platinum, MTN with numbers or trading updates, and so many more. Yesterday we had AB InBev, which was up 7.5% at one stage. We've got Harmony today, and all sorts of other things. You're going to have to obviously be selective and tell us which ones you've managed to skim.
Well, I started to look at MTN. You know, they came out early this morning as a trading update. We knew the results were going to be bad. It's an annual result, and also that they were absolutely hammered by the depreciation of the Naira. That's the Nigerian currency. So I think all the bad news in their results had already been discounted. There was nothing new in what came out. The other one that upset me was Spar. They came out with an 18-week trading update. You know, we've
down
been
six
waiting.
And two-thirds percent currently.
Yeah, that's a big fall. That's a big fall. Switzerland, Ireland, and Southwest UK still issues there. Not finding any kind of support, and the local market nothing to be excited about as well. So, but the other was Motors. You know, you mentioned Motors down 13%, and this what's interesting about Motors is all the results are pointing towards consumers under pressure, higher interest rates, and you know, lower disposable income. So what's happening in Motors' case, you know, they Motors MOTUS, you know, they bring in motor vehicles from South Korea, and good motor vehicles. But what's happening, at one stage they were affordable, now no longer. They now become, now everybody's switching to the cheaper Chinese models that are flooding this country. So by trading down to the cheaper vehicles, it's you know, it's hurting their sales, and so the results were disappointing, and that's why the market. I haven't gone through them in great detail to understand why it's 13%, but I think that's a general trend. But Lindsay, that's what we are seeing across our market. Consumers under pressure, haven't got the money. I think in all cases, even in retailers, you know, we're starting to see a lot of pressure on many of them. Two of its results out. I haven't had a look.
Two's share price up a couple of percent. They always come out with late results, but yes.
Yeah, look at it on the year. It's down about 20% on the year, you know, which gives an idea. So, but a lot to go through. I think if I could just summarize it. You know, there's a lot of pressure. AB InBev doesn't do any business here besides SA Breweries, which had very good numbers. But I think there again, they're reducing debt. I don't think volume sales were. People are crowing about their results, but I still think that had to do with more efficiencies rather than going out there and selling lots and lots of beer.
Viv, would you agree with David? When I look at these results that have come out over the last week or so of results season, it's not a sort of a blanket buy, a blanket sell, or a blanket hold. There are certain companies that are adapting and certain companies that are not, Viv. I mean, you look at Spar down 6.2%. You see Truworths, although longer term, horribly down, up to 2.6% today. So is it very much a sniper shot market rather than a shotgun market?
I think that is quite likely true, at least at the moment. I mean, there have obviously been these big trends over time. And if you look, for instance, like, you know, internationally, it has been the tech trend that has driven things, even though it has reversed quite strongly in the last couple of weeks. I do think that, you know, another big trend we saw today was the gold price. In fact, anything against the dollar was down. I think this has to do with the Trump tariff announcements that we had come out. So if you look at about half past 1 hour time, you saw the rand, the euro, the pound, basically everything that's measured against the dollar. Weakened significantly. You know, because we were like, it was 1840, we went to like 1850, and like, you know, at a very quick time, we saw some of the movements in pound, the thing. So you could play those macro trends, you know, quite clearly. But in terms of individual stocks, yes, you are correct. This is, I mean, especially the retail sector. I think the retail sector, people don't appreciate this, is going through a rebalancing that's going to be quite significant. And, you know, the winners are not going to be the ones that were winners in the past. Speaking to David's point about, you know, the Chinese cars, I'm looking to buy a car at the moment. When you go look at the Chinese vehicles, for what you get, for what you'd probably get at like a middle level, you know, a VW or something like that there, what the Chinese guys are offering is, you know, quite substantially better. And, you know, I think it's partly to do with the fact that, you know, they are the new interest of the market. But also, I mean, these guys are the manufacturing hub of the world. They can manufacture iPhones. They can probably manufacture cars as well. And they bring that manufacturing power to bear on a market that they haven't really, you know, attacked internationally as strongly. And like I said, I mean, the feature set that you would get from a car comparable to like an entry-level BMW is astounding.
Mm. I think Viv's got a very important point there.
Okay.
And, you know, if you... Lindsay, it depends. If you're a motor enthusiast and you love all the different buttons that will come, I don't know, or the software that comes with these fancy, you know, German vehicles or high level, okay, that's one thing, you know, but you have to afford it. But if you just want to go from A to B, you know, something like that, with your children or go shopping, whatever, who cares? Do you know what I mean? They will provide what you need. Yes. And I think this is what everyone's finding. I think they are, you know, they're taking South Africa by storm, and making a big impact here on traditional sales. You can see it, which would include Toyota, would include the Japanese. You know, now it's hitting Hyundai and it's hitting Kia, it's hitting all of those.
Gentlemen, I will confess to this. I don't own a motor car. I don't drive. I don't think I'll ever drive again, simply because I choose not to, because I'm a sort of a pseudo-environmentalist. The last time I drove a motor car, I think I drove to Barcelona to watch a football match in a hired car, and that was it. When I left South Africa, what, 7-8 years ago, that was the last time I owned a car. And I'm sort of smugly proud of myself because of that. I noticed the S&P is down. Both you can choose who answers this question. The S&P made a high today of 6,014 on the futures. It's now 5,944. Yeah. Has there been data in the last half hour that has driven this market down? Or is everyone saying this is a sell the rallies market? Viv, I'll start with you, actually.
I think this market is just adjusting to the Trump tariff announcement. Mm-hmm. I think that's the big thing. I mean, he's talked about, you know, basically next week, China big tariffs or Canada also, and soon to announce, you know, EU tariffs as well. So I think that is what actually is the big story of the day. Mm-hmm. And I think the market's just trying to figure out what's going to be happening right now. And that's what we're seeing at the moment, is that uncertainty.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, you know, then, honestly, it is looking oversold to me, but it doesn't like it when it goes up.
I think even today, at the end of today or the end of tomorrow, we'll probably end up. But at the moment, everyone's confused. No one. If you're owning a business, and you're trying to strategize the way forward or decide what to do, with Trump in charge, with that administration, you can't make a decision. You've got absolutely no idea what's coming and what's real, what's threat, what's not threat. And I think Viv's 100% right. At the moment, people are just saying, you know, we can't make up our mind. And I think it's coming through in traders as well. They can smell that there's weakness, and you know, they're having a field day. But as long as you know that we're much lower now, I haven't got the data in front of me, but I think we are much lower than when he was elected. When he was elected, we thought that you know, everything was going to be fine, deregulation, lower taxes, even if there were tariffs and immigration, we thought that all of those, you know, his whole policies would actually drive the U.S. economy stronger, and that things would be better. We'd have what's called U.S. exceptionalism. No, you know, it's not. We're actually, what he's done is created unbelievable uncertainty in markets now, that exceptionalism is being challenged. And it's not only going to challenge America, but challenge the rest of the world as well. You know, no one has a clue.
Yeah, well, someone has a clue because Tesla's 288 now, down a bit again, was 488, just about the same day that he was appointed as a special government employee of the Department of Government Efficiency. So that's what the world thinks about that. David, you sent me an email earlier today about Ramaphosa having a nasty little dig at Trump, and you seem to be a little bit confused about this, if that's the correct word to use. Actually, a little bit surprised. And there's another couple of words you used as well, which I won't obviously broadcast.
My worry is South Africa. You're dealing with an unpredictable person, you know, a person that you can't read. Don't tell him that he's got the information wrong. You know, in other words, don't correct him or lecture to him. I'm saying Ramaphosa to Trump.
Yes.
He's not the kind of person that likes to be caught out, and don't tell him that, you know, this is misinformation. So if South Africa wants to continue to trade with Trump, just withdraw. Be a little humble, and you know where the issues lie. The issue lies with South Africa's relationship with Iran, the whole ICC case. All of those issues are upsetting Trump. So if you want to do trade and you want to continue, just bear that in mind, and don't lecture him. And that's what I'm worried, is that Ramaphosa will not backtrack. The ANC will not backtrack. They say, we will not be bullied. I'm saying, hold on a sec. These are the Apple people, the NVIDIA people, the Microsoft people, the Amazon. We use their products all the time, every day. Don't mess with him, because he can pull the plug. You know, he's a spiteful person. He can pull the plug and turn the switch off. Just, you know, in other words, know who's strong, you know what I mean?
I loved his face in the press conference with President Emmanuel Macron yesterday or the day before, whenever it was. And he said, you know, the Europeans loan Ukraine money and Ukraine has to pay it back. And you saw Macron, and he leant over with his right hand and put his right hand on the arm of Donald Trump and said, "You're talking nonsense," essentially. You could see Trump's face. He was seething. He doesn't like to be taken to task. It was an amazing press conference, I have to say. Anyway, gentlemen.
If you see what the Merck's guy from Germany is saying.
No, go on.
So the Merck's guy from Germany, basically the newly elected guy in charge of Germany, he came out and said, basically, I think it turns out that the US trade doesn't care about Europe. And so it's up to us to do our own thing and to get our own stuff in order. And if you look at basically, obviously France is taking a role because the Germans have been historically, you know, quite reticent to take the lead role for obvious reasons. But it does seem like the Germans are going to be, you know, at least the new German government is seeming to take a much more aggressive role about the US. And the German economy, of course, is still the largest in Europe. So I think Macron and the new German head here is going to be quite a different thing. Of course, the counterpart is that you're going to still see Orbán in one side and Meloni on the other side, who are still quite pro-Trump. And let's see which faction wins there.
Yes, and we've also got Keir Starmer, the PM of Britain, who's a bit of a lame duck, in my opinion, but he's there right at this moment, meeting with the Orange Man. Anyway, I was going to talk about the Trump Gaza video, but I it's very, very distasteful. Golden statues of that man, who'd been made to look taller and slimmer as well by whoever came up with that nonsense. Anyway, the dollar rand is 18.46, which has barely changed in the last 24 hours. British pound against the rand, 23.32. The euro rand is 19.24. The euro dollar, 104.25, which is a euro that has fallen by 0.3%. The gold price, as Viv said earlier on, 28.79, which is a big move. That's over $50 weaker, or nearly 2%. Platinum, the same sort of story, but less dramatic. A 9.65, down $4. And palladium, down $15 an ounce to $9.16 per ounce. So the metals, having had so much good news for a number of years now, not doing badly. The yellow metal, that is. Crude oil is doing well, though, up 2.25%, $70.18. That's for West Texas. And Brent crude oil is $74 on the nose, which is up just over 2%. Wheat price down 2.5%. I'm trying to looking for other ones, but no. CRB index is down quite sharply, actually, taking a break. SA 10-year bond yield, that is 10.76%. The US 10-year. Oh, by the way, there's Viv, you're a student of these things. The yield on the 10-year has gone below the yield on the 3-year in America. Am I getting this right or wrong here? Anyway, it's an inverted yield curve now, and that says there's going to be an economic slowdown. I'll get the details. Mm. But an inverted yield curve, Viv, what does that mean?
Yeah, like basically these yield curves indicate what people expect, of course, the future, you know, it's called payouts to be. And if you are seeing, you know, it's called the future, it's called you know, returns being significantly lower than the current returns, then you are assuming that there is going to be a lot of trouble ahead and we're going to be forced to basically cut into care of that. And so that, I think, is something to be aware of here. But look, I am, you know, more uncertain about what's going to be happening going forward because, you know, irrespective of what Trump is doing, irrespective of everything else, I'm just so positive about technological changes that I do think that, you know, some of the growth rates we are likely to see in 2 or 3 years' time are going to be, you know, just because of technological changes. It doesn't matter who's in charge. You invent the steam engine, your country is going to grow. You invent your computers, your country is going to grow. You get AI coming about, your country is going to grow. And I think that is one of the things that I'm thinking some of the stuff is most being priced at the moment.
Okay. Actually, this is the story. I got it wrong, not the 3-year. It says here, the 10-year Treasury yield passed below the 3-month yield on Wednesday, sparking fears of an economic downturn. An inverted yield curve, as it's called, is the Fed's favorite recession indicator, David.
Yeah. In fact, what's happened from zero rate cuts, now the market's pricing in at least 2. And that's a big change from where we were when at the last Fed meeting.
Hmm.
So, they're certainly. I still believe this has been triggered by consumer confidence indices, which are plunging, lowest in many, many years. The result of uncertainty around Trump. Nobody has a clue what's coming. You know, when you start talking about tariff increases, who pays for it? The consumers. Yeah. You know, they've got absolutely no idea what's going to happen. To be honest, I don't even think Trump knows himself. Honestly, I think he's, unfortunately, the chips in his head get wiped out clean every night. You know, like you turn off your computer. Anyway.
I watch him with a lot of fascination. It's almost as though something comes into his head and he hasn't been listening to other people's comments or anything, and he just blurts it out. Last night he talked for 12 minutes non-stop with one question, and the question that was asked of him took up about 47 seconds, and then he goes off. He's off. He's rambling. He's like a puppy. You take him off the lead, and he just runs and runs and runs. Goes mad.
Oh, yeah. But the counterpoint to that says, okay, look at Germany, right? Run by proper grown-up people. They still went out and put down their power plants when they were dependent on Russian oil. You know, look at Xi Jinping. I think China's done well, and he goes and destroys his local tech industry. Just as AI is about to happen, none of these politicians know what they are doing. They are just look at the UK with Brexit. Okay, well thought out and smart. Are not some things that you find. Trump, on the other hand, the one thing that's positive about him is because he's so erratic. He doesn't actually do anything. You know what I mean? and that is the positive effect of him. He says a lot of stuff but doesn't actually do anything, which might be actually much better than saying stuff and doing something.
Yeah. you've got to say, though, he's great fun. Even though he's disturbing, he's really, really good fun. And when he goes, which he will, obviously, either, you know, in as Viv, you said on a couple of occasions, he's obese. He's at a certain age, and statistically, he hasn't got that long. I don't wish him that, of course, because I shall miss him. But, what a man. On the JSE today, Fortress B up 5.3% after the property index yesterday had a bad day. Outshot Assurance up 2.5%, Altail up 2.1%, Tungela up 2%, and Truworths nearly 2% to the good. Downside, the red ones, Motus down nearly 14% on the close after the auction, Spar down over 7%, Harmony down nearly 5%, Sappi down just over 4%, and Sibanye-Stillwater in the red to the tune of 4%. David, the closing indices, please.
Well, the all-share closed down 1.13% with weakness right across the board, most of it coming from the mining sector, platinum and gold shares. But overall, the resource index down 1.7%. Banks down 1.8%. I'm just looking at the industrial index. That was down 0.9%. So listed property up slightly, I think, some of the – I'm not quite sure what lifted them. I'm trying to find them as I talk to you. But Fortress, perhaps one of them that yes. added to that industry. But, I mean, that's overall not a good day. Volumes, 22 billion, still dominated by gold shares and by NASPERS, which is still in demand by, you know, on a daily basis. Still, every day is kind of, you know, the most traded stock.
Okay.
That's about it.
Jolly good. Well, David and Viv, thank you very much for your time. As always, fascinating insights from both of you. David Shapiro is from Sasfin Securities, Viv Govender from Rand Swiss, both in Johannesburg. And that was the 5 o'clock shadow. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.